by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen Amma baad fa a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim Wa salatu wa salamu alayki ya Rasulullah Wa ala alika wa sahabiki ya Habiballah Wa salatu wa salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah Wa ala alika wa sahabiki ya Nurallah Allahu Akbar Viewers of Money Channel, welcome to Arise and Shine, the early morning program here in the UK, and Alhamdulillah spreading all across the world to all the English-speaking countries, inshallah, azzawajal. Rise and shine, that day in the morning, that time of the day where we're supposed to expect, we're supposed to wake up, be fresh, and get ready for the day ahead. And inshallah, azzawajal, today we have another unique topic. What is the topic? Let's see. Let's give a clue. The topic of the day is something that we all know it's wrong. Yes, I think that's the first thing. We all know it's wrong, but a lot of us do it without realizing. You know, when you talk about namaz, everybody knows it's wrong to miss your namaz, and we all know that when we miss our namaz, it is wrong. But this particular action that we're going to talk about today, we all know it is wrong, but at the same time we do it without even realizing that we are committing this wrong, that we are committing this sin. But before we actually introduce the topic properly, let's give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again with the intention that inshallah azza wa jalla we listen to this blessing and it encourages us to become habitual in reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is narrated that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "The one who likes Allah azza wa jalla be pleased with him when he is presented in the court of Allah azza wa jalla, then he shall recite Durood e Pak upon me, I, the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in abundance." So if you want Allah azza wa jalla to be pleased with you on the day that you are presented to Allah azza wa jalla, then recite Durood e Pak in abundance upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. Please make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak. I'm constantly going to carry on saying this. I'm going to make it a habit that eventually you're going to listen and encourage yourselves and your family, to everybody, to make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those of you that also watch Rise and Shine also know that every morning after we give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak, we also give you some tilawat of some of the verses of the Holy Quran. So now let's go and listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم صدق الله العظيم
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Viewers of Madhuri Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and the topic of the day, what is the topic of the day? The topic of the day, viewers of Madhuri Channel, is lying. Lying. It is something that we know it is wrong. It is something that we know it is wrong, but unfortunately, how many of us even go through one day without lying? Be it for whatever reason. And we lie for very, very many, many, many reasons. And what is sad that a lot of the reasons that we lie for, there is no benefit to us. And so this habit is something that we need to control. It's something that we need to stop. Because there is a lot of personal damage that we can cause to our soul as a result of lying. And just today, inshallah, we're going to give you some of the parables to encourage us to stop lying and some of the hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some practical examples of where people do lie, where there is no worldly benefit whatsoever, no benefit at all. And so it makes you wonder, why are we lying? Why are we lying? Because why it makes people happy? Why? Because it's just to have a little bit of a laugh. And there's no benefit to us at all. And so it's something that we need to ponder about today. And inshallah, today we're going to encourage ourselves to give us ourselves a little bit of a self-check. Yeah? Check yourself. Check yourself that, you know, on a daily basis, and pause and think to yourself, am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And obviously I should not be doing this. I'm going to give you a little parable once. There was a person, and he had a dispute with a woman over a piece of land. I think that the two houses were adjoining. There was a piece of land that was there. And in the end, the man said, okay, give this piece of land to her, because I have heard that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who takes even a handspan of land unjustly, he will be made to wear a garland of seven earths on the day of judgment. And so he handed over this land to this woman. And after this, he made a dua. He said, Ya Allah, if this woman is lying, then make her blind and make her grave in the same house. The narrator, he said that after a short period of time, this woman, she became blind. And she was wandering around the house, you know, touching the walls to see her way around. And then one day she actually fell into a well in her house and died there. And that house, that land, actually became her grave. And so you can see from this Views of Mother Channel that the devastating consequences of lying, you know, that a person's dua, that person did that dua, that because she was lying, that this happened to us. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are told that, you know, a person who recites this piece of flesh that we have in our mouth, although it is a very small part of us, but this piece of flesh that we have in our mouth can be the cause of great good, but it can also be the cause of great destruction. And inshallah, we're going to talk about that today, inshallah. But I know a lot of you are thinking, why is he carrying on talking? Because normally by this time we've got the kalam. We want to listen to the kalam. We don't want to listen to the brother for a while. Let's listen to the kalam, inshallah, and I'll be right back, inshallah, and we'll continue talking about this topic. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Salli ala nabiyyina, salli. Oh. सिखाते
बनाते ये हैं
alayhi wa sallam laakhon balaye karodon dushman laakhon balaye karodon dushman
Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and I'm hoping that you enjoyed that as much as I did. Very relaxing, very emotional, and very thought-provoking as well. Viewers of Mother Channel, we're talking today about lying. And you know this tongue that we have between our jaws? It is a very small piece of flesh, but it is a great blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, as is all the other blessings that we have, the eyesight that we have, the ears that we have, the hands, the feet, the health. All of these are blessings from Allah Azza wa Jal. And to be honest, we can only really appreciate those blessings when them blessings, if we didn't have them blessings. If, for example, you were not able to speak, then you would understand the blessing of having a tongue. And just ponder for a moment that if you were told that, look, if you lie, I'll take your tongue away from you. If you swear, I'll take your tongue away from you. If you backbite, I will take your tongue away with you. You will not be able to speak again if you ever lie. You'll not be able to speak again if you ever swear. You'll not be able to speak again if you ever backbite. How careful would you be about what you say? How careful would you make sure that this tongue never lies? You would make sure that this tongue never swears. You would make sure that this tongue never backbites. But because we cannot see the punishment in front of us, we cannot see what's going to happen to us as a result of that, we don't control our tongues. And only if you didn't have this blessing would you really appreciate it. Now this tongue, this small piece of flesh, if it's used correctly, then it can be a great blessing. If, for example, you use this tongue to recite the tasbih, you recite the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, you recite the Kalma Sharif, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, there are great blessings in it. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the one who said, La ilaha illallah, will enter paradise, and paradise will become wajib for him. But if that same tongue is used to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, then it is a means of great calamity. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the majority, and this is quite scary, that the majority of a man's sins are committed through his tongue. Ponder over that. The majority of the sins that we commit as a result of this small piece of flesh. And lying is also one of the ways of the evil use of this tongue. A liar not only becomes disgraced amongst the people by losing his trust, but also even the angels do not come close to such a person. It is stated in a blessed hadith that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person lies, then an angel distances a mile away to him due to his foul smell. Sayyidina Imam Abdul Rahman Ibn Jawzi rahmatullahi ta'ala stated that when a believer lies without a shari reason, then something possessing foul smell emanates from his mouth. To the extent that it reaches the arsh bearing angels curse him. 80,000 angels along with them curse him, and 80 sins are written in his account. The smallest of those sins is like the mountain of Uhud. Allahu Akbar. It is stated in Fatawa Razviya that lying and backbiting are inner diseases. Therefore, a foul odor is produced from the mouth of a liar. Angels that protect him distance themselves from him. Likewise, it is highlighted in a hadith that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, identifying an odor, informed that this is the foul odor from the mouths of those who backbite against Muslims. And that we do not feel this odor because our senses have become accustomed to this smell. Like the smell of leather does not bother the people who live close to a leather processing factory. But if someone comes to visit, they might not be able to stand the smell. I remember, just to give you an example of this, I remember my father once telling me a story about somebody that was, they were giving the daughter's rishta in marriage to somebody. And the people that they were getting the daughter married were camel herders. They were herding camels. And so when they went there, yeah, after the daughter had got married, and they were quite upset because obviously the smell of the camels and the camel dung was all there and everything, and you know, it bothered them. And then when obviously the parents came back, the family came back, and they left the daughter there, they were quite worried that how's our daughter going to manage there, yeah, that, you know, that foul smell is there all the time, how's our daughter going to manage there? And sometime later the daughter came to stay with her parents and come to see her parents. And the parents inquired from her that, you know, that smell, how are you managing with the smell there? It was such a horrible smell when we went. And she replied, no, the smell's gone away now. The smell's gone away when it's fine now. And what had actually happened, viewers of Mother Channel, the smell had not gone away. The nose of that girl had become accustomed to that smell, and because of that, she didn't smell it anymore. In the same way, viewers of Mother Channel, that this foul smell that is coming from us, we are told in so many narrations by the pious predecessors that a foul smell comes from the person who lies, a foul smell comes from the person who backbites. But we, why can't we smell it? It's because it's everywhere. It's everywhere. We're constantly lying, we're constantly backbiting, we're constantly doing all these things, and because of this, you know, you can't smell it. And isn't that sad that this foul smell is around us, but we've become so immersed in it, so accustomed to it, so habitual in it, so used to it, that it doesn't bother us anymore because our noses are like immunized effectively. And it's something that we need to ponder over. And with regards to lying, viewers of Mother Channel, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, with regards to lying, we are told that frequent lying is a proof for the weakness of Iman. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, only those who do not believe in Allah's verses attribute false allegation, and only they are liars. Astaghfirullah. Under this ayat, it is mentioned in Tafsir Kazan that this ayat refutes the false accusation of the disbelievers, which they accuse the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he had made the Quran by himself. Astaghfirullah. The summary of this ayat is that lying and slandering are indeed the acts of faithless people. Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi ta'ala states that this ayat is a strong proof upon the fact that lying is the biggest sins amongst all major sins, astaghfirullah, because only such a person dares to lie and slander who does not believe in the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Almighty condemning lying in such a way is a very serious warning. Viewers of Madri Channel, we can see that the Quran is telling us that lying is the habit of faithless people. Lying is the habit of faithless people. And we fail to realize, viewers of Madri Channel, that our faith, our iman, the iman that you have, is the most precious gift that you've got. It's the most precious gift that you've got. Anything that you earn, that you have in this dunya, whatever you've got, you may have kotia, you may have houses, you may have bungalows, you may have acres of land, you may have huge businesses, you have made huge bank balances, you may have gold, you may have all sorts of things. I mean, even yesterday someone said to me that, sent me this message that saying someone had got married, yeah, and the 11 kilos, yes, 11 kilos of gold in dowry. All of that wealth, whatever it is, it is nothing in comparison to the wealth that you have in the form of your iman. And you know, we do all these things to protect our wealth. You know, if this person gave 11 kilos to his daughter of gold in dowry, then without doubt that daughter, she didn't just leave the gold lying around. She didn't leave it on the street. She didn't leave it in the car with the doors unlocked. She didn't leave it lying around in the house. She locked it up and secured that wealth. In the same way, viewers of Malaysia, when I came in here today, right, I locked my car. When we came in here, we locked the door outside as we were coming in. And we do this. Why do we do this? We do this to protect our worldly goods. We do it to protect our cars, to protect our worldly goods. When I left home this morning, I locked the front door. When I'm walking around, I don't walk around with my money in my hand like this. I walk around it secure in my pocket. I put it somewhere safe. But viewers of Malaysia, what about our iman? What about our most precious gift that we have got? What do we do to protect our iman? Do we do anything? What we are doing, viewers of this channel, is we are risking our iman. Risking our iman by lying. Risking our iman by backbiting. We run the risk of losing it. We are effectively, we are being told that not only are you risking losing it, you've lost it, you've become faithless. Viewers of Mother Channel, you lock up your cars, you lock up your houses, you lock up your gold, you lock up your wealth. Allahu Akbar. Try putting the spiritual lock on this for a while. Put the lock on this so that it protects your iman. If only we can learn to protect our iman. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, I'm going to give you another parable at the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. It is stated that when Caesar received the invitation of Islam from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam through a letter, then he called Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala. Now at that time he was not a Muslim, and he had not become Muslim, but in the relation to the lineage, he was very close to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In order to get an idea regarding the truthfulness of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Caesar asked various questions regarding the Holy Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, although at that time Abu Sufyan had held enmity against the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time due to the kufr, but even then he gave honest answers to all the questions which Caesar asked him regarding the blessed character of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the only reason why he did not lie to degrade the status of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that due to lying, the society will call him a liar, and this is worse of all the sins which will be associated with me. He was saying himself that I could have degraded the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I could have lied about his character. I could have said all sorts of things about him, but I didn't want anybody to say that you are a liar. So, viewers of Madinah, even in that time, You know, people in the times of Jahiliyyah, that even in that time, lying was considered such a degrading thing, such a thing that in the society that people will look down on you, people will degrade you if you are known as a liar. Allahu Akbar. He states, by Allah, if I did not fear being embarrassed over the fact that people will associate the act of lying against me, then I would have lied against the Holy Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so this proves, viewers of Madhi Channel, that lying is something that's always been degraded. Lying is something that has always been disliked. Lying is something that has not been accepted in any society. And think to yourself that, I remember, before we go to the daily reminder, I remember again something my father always told me when we were little. You know, as you are being brought up, the tarbiyat of our children is very, very important. It's from a young age, viewers of Madhi Channel, we need to teach our children not to lie, teach our children not to swear, teach our children not to backbite and all these things. And I remember my father saying one thing to me, and it stuck with me. I was very, very young at the time, but he said to me, and I'll say it in Urdu, then I'll translate, "Jhoot ke pair nahi hote." He said to me, they explained to me that when a person lies, then how far can he run? Eventually he will get caught out. Eventually people will realize that he is a liar. So if you lie, don't think that you can run with that lie for the rest of your life. Eventually you will be caught. Why? Because a person that lies, he doesn't have feet. He cannot continue to run. Eventually he will be caught and found out. So I was taught from a very young age. And again, viewers of Madhi Channel, again, there is, as we talk about the topics that we talk about on a daily basis, it's something that we need to think about, that what tarbiyat are we giving to our children? And then what happens is when our children start lying, when our children start backbiting, when our children start swearing, when our children start committing all sorts of things, then we say, oh, what have I done? What have I done? Okay, what shall I do now? Get the phone call and phone up the brother and say, "Brother, can you please help me? Yeah, my son, he's drinking alcohol. Brother, can you please help me? My son's into drugs." But what have you been doing for the last 18 years? You know, this tarbiyat of the child from a young age is very, very important. That from a young age, we teach our children not to lie. From a young age, we teach our children to tell the truth. And just to give you another example. For example, you know, you're in the house. You're in the house and children are playing in the room. They're playing in a room and all of a sudden you hear a crack. You hear some sound and you rush into the room and there's a vase and the vase has fallen on the ground and it's broke. Yeah? And you see four or five kids there. And what do? You say to the kids, which one of you has done this? Who's done this? Come on, tell me. Tell me who's done it. And you're saying in a stern voice, and the children are now scared. The children are now scared by the tone of your voice. And what happens is, because the children are now scared, right, nobody's going to admit to doing it. He did it. I didn't do it. He did it. He did it. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was him. It was him. It was him. Yeah? And all the children do this because they're scared now. They're scared of being punished by you. And what happens is, in most cases, either one of the two things will happen. Either you will just say something angrily, walk out of the room and say to your spouse that, "Look, can you come and sort out these kids because they made a mess here?" Or you'll punish all of them. You'll punish all of them. But what will happen is then, is that that child that broke that, and that child that lied, them children that lied, what have they learned? They've learned a lesson. The lesson is that, one, if I lie, then either, one, I get away with it. Well, I got away with it. My dad didn't punish anybody. He worked out the room at the end of. We got away with it. Or number two, that the punishment is shared. The punishment is shared. And when a punishment is shared, it's not as bad as being punished on your own. So what lesson have you taught your child? I'll tell you what lesson you've taught your child. Lying is good. That's what you've taught your children. You've taught your children that by lying, you can save yourself. By lying, you can protect yourself. And that lesson that you taught at that young age, for all their lives, they hang on to that. You know what? I'm lying, and I can get away with it. 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 And maybe, viewers of Madhi Channel, yes, you can get away with it in this dunya, but you won't get away with it in the akhirat. But let's run that example again, that same example, just one more time. The children have broke something. You go into the room. Which one of you's broke it? Who's broke it? Come on, tell me who's broke it. He's broke it. And they're all scared again, yeah? And you calm down. And you say, "Look, kids, not all of you's broke it. One of you's broke it. Come on, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. And if you tell me the truth, don't worry, I won't punish you. Tell me the truth, and I won't punish you." And what you're doing now is by talking calmly, you're building up the courage inside that child. You're building up the courage inside that child to speak the truth. Because before he's been scared, because when you came into the room and you were angry, obviously he's going to be scared. But now because you're calm. You're calm and you say, don't worry. Don't worry, Beta. Don't worry, children. It's okay. Tell me the truth. And then when that child plucks up the courage and he says, Abhajan, Dad, it was me. It was me that did it. Now, before we go forward, what should your reaction be now? What should your reaction be? So it was you. I knew it was you. I knew it was you. Right, you're in trouble. Dish him, da, and you punish the child. No. That's not what you should do. Because then what you've taught that child is, what you taught that child now by punishing that child, you taught that child that by telling the truth, I've told the truth and now I'm in bigger trouble. What you should do. Okay, Beta. You know, in future children, can you please be careful? Because obviously you've damaged this, it's broke this. But you know what, Beta? I'm very happy with you today. Today you've made me happy. Today you made me proud of you. And shall I tell you why, Beta? Because you spoke the truth. You spoke the truth. And you know what, Beta? What we'll do is we'll get some, you know, some snacks in. We'll get some, I don't know, pizzas or burgers or something in. We'll get something in because, mashallah, I'm so happy that you spoke the truth today. Yeah, we'll get some samosa in or whatever it is. We'll get something in because I'm happy that my son has spoke the truth. What message have you now taught that child? You've now taught that child that speaking the truth is good. Same example, but how you dealt with it determined how that child will possibly live the rest of his life. At a young age, when you teach children, it's like inscribing in stone. You know, when you inscribe something in stone, it stays there forever. When you chisel something into stone, you chisel some writing into the stone, that chisel stays there forever. In the same way that at a young age, when you give the tarbiyah to the children, it's as if you're inscribing into the stone, and that stays with them all their lives. So at a young age, the lesson that you give to the children can affect them the whole life. It can change the whole life. Now, if you want your children to grow up as liars, if you want to have your children to grow up swearing, if you want your children to grow up this backbiting, then basically take a back seat and let them do what they want. But if you want your children to grow up as honest people, Allah-fearing people, people that follow the Quran and the Sunnah, then you need to be on the forefront and you need to be active in bringing up the tarbiyah of your children. You know, someone said that in the current climate, the current world that we're in now, in the society that we're in now, in the age where trials and tribulations are all around us, that if a parent gives his children 100% focus on his children, then his children have a chance. His children have a chance. If his parents don't give 100% to his children, then his children have no chance. There's no guarantees, but we have to do our best. We have to do our best to give the tarbiyah of our children. Where is the mother channel? We have the daily reminder. Let's go to the daily reminder. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our daily reminder. Inshallah, Azzawajal, a very beautiful piece of advice from a personality. He says, when you are about to commit a sin, think about three things. Number one, Allah is watching you. Number two, angels are recording your deeds. And number three, death is closer than you think. Now, if you take all of these three advices from this person, and subhanallah, Azzawajal, you know how true it is that whenever we commit a sin, always think to yourself, Allah Ta'ala is watching over us. We can't hide anywhere. You can't go into a dark cave and think that I can commit a sin here. Allah Ta'ala, ma'azallah, will not be watching me. That will never happen. You can't go into the deepest of the oceans and commit a sin, thinking to yourself that Allah Azza wa Jalla, ma'azallah, will not watch me. Allah Ta'ala, you can be anywhere. You can be in the deepest part of the world, in the deepest part of the ocean. You can be anywhere where no one is watching you. But remember, Allah Azza wa Jalla is always watching you. We can never be out of the lands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So therefore, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, have this conscience, have this thought inside ourselves that Allah Ta'ala is watching you. And then the other thing, that whenever we commit a sin, the angels, the Kiram and Katibin, these two angels, they will write the bad deed. They will write the sin that we have done. And remember, that sin will stay there forever. But the pleasure of what we have done, the pleasure of that sin will vanish one time. And then what will happen? The sin will remain forever until we do tawbah. And ma'azallah, Allah Ta'ala forbid, if we do not do tawbah, we will be held responsible on the day of judgment. So always think to yourself that it's not something that we do and then nothing's going to happen. No one's going to find out. You might be locked up, locking yourself up in a room. You've got all the locks on. No one's watching you. You've turned off the security cameras. You think no one is watching you. You think that you are alone at home. No one is watching you. No person is watching you. Your Creator is always aware of you. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. La ta'khuzuhu sinatu wa la nawm. Allah Azza wa Jal is always watching you. Allah Ta'ala knows what you are doing. Allah Ta'ala even knows the thoughts that are going through your mind. Allah Ta'ala knows what you are thinking about in your heart. So how can we escape Allah Azza wa Jal? And then these women, Kiram and Katibin, every time they are ready to write all our bad deeds, all our good deeds. Make sure these angels are busy writing our good deeds rather than making them busy writing your sins. Because what will happen is these sins, they will remain forever. And the enjoyment that we get from committing a sin, that enjoyment will not last forever. It lasts for what? 1 minute, 2 minutes, a few minutes, a few hours, a few days. And then what? That enjoyment will go. But that sin will remain with us. And just imagine, the third thing, death is closer than you think. Just we think that we're going to be old. You think that you're going to be 65, 70, 100 years old before you die. That's not the case. Go to the graveyard and look at the gravestones, and you'll find many people that are buried inside the graveyard. They are under 50 years old. So what makes us think that we are going to live forever? What makes us think that I can carry on with my life, nothing's going to happen, I can enjoy myself? You can still enjoy yourself by, you know, and being inside the beautiful boundaries of Sharia. Who says you can't enjoy yourself? You can enjoy yourself, but enjoy yourself in rather than displeasing, rather than angering Allah Azza wa Jal. Enjoy yourself by pleasing your Rabb. Enjoy yourself by following the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, once we live a life of these thoughts in our mind, then always be conscious. One Buzurg Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, whenever he used to offer his salah, he used to be, you know, so conscious about his death. He used to be conscious that death is just behind me. He used to think to himself that I am walking over the bridge of Sirat. He used to think to himself that my death is chasing me and my grave is ready for me. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, our graves may be dug. Our kafans will already be prepared for us. But we are heedless. We don't know what we are doing. We are living our life as if nothing is going to happen. Things will change dramatically. Things can change overnight. Things can change in a second. Anything can happen. So always be prepared that when you die, you are going to meet your Rabb Azza wa Jal. When you leave this world, when you are inside that dark grave, the Munkar Nakir will come inside your grave. They will ask you the answers. So always prepare for that. What a beautiful advice. Let me remember these three things again. Number one, before you sin, think to yourself, Allah is watching you. Number two, Allah's angels are recording your deeds. And number three, death is closer than you think. If you had a security camera, and would you see people robbing from that place, they'll be thinking twice. Why? Security cameras are on. Someone is watching me. Yeah? People are scared of security cameras because some person is watching them. Are we not scared of Allah, who is always watching over us? Are we not scared that Allah Azza wa Jalla is always watching me? Are we not scared that the angels are writing the bad deeds? And are we not scared that the lazzat will finish one day and the sin will stay with me forever? Now is the time that we did tawbah in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think a great reminder today of, you know, that Allah is always watching us. And in the same way, like you mentioned toward the end, that when we have security cameras on us, then we act differently and we are aware of our actions. And, you know, when someone's driving the car on the motorway, then as soon as they see a security camera, they slow down, they make sure that they're not speeding. But Allah is watching us all the time. And sometimes we, you know, close the doors and think, you know, nobody can hear us. Sometimes we switch off the lights and think nobody can see us. Sometimes we go to a different town and think nobody knows us here, so we can do what we want. Allah hears everything. Allah sees everything. Allah knows everything. And I think if you can get that mindset that Allah is aware of everything that we are doing, then you will learn to try and control yourselves and prepare yourselves for that day which ultimately we are all going to face. We're all going to face that day when we all enter our dark and lonely graves all on our own. And the only thing that we will have with us are good deeds. And when we're in that dark and lonely grave, and when we're asked the questions, we can't lie. You won't be able to lie on the day of judgment. And today we're talking about lying viewers of Malaysia. In this dunya, maybe you can lie. And maybe you can get away with it. But on the day of judgment, you will not be able to lie. Everything will be exposed. Everything will be exposed. There is one place, viewers of Mother Channel, that lying is not going to work. You will not be able to lie. You may be clever. People say, oh, he's got the gift of the gab. Yeah, he's got the gift of the gab. He knows how to speak quickly. And there's a saying in English, in Urdu, Hazar Damag, that he's quick thinking. He can think very quickly. He can think on his feet. He can come up with the answers very, very quickly. And because of that, he can get away with things. You may be the most hazard among, you must be the quick-witted person, you may have the gift of the gab, you may have all of these things. On the day of judgment, you are nothing. You are nothing on the day of judgment. You are nothing then. Your quick-wittedness, your gift of the gab, your ability to make up a story will not work on that day. And so that's why we're saying, viewers of Malaysia, that lying is such a grave sin. That all your life, if you've been lying on the day of judgment, you will be held accountable for every single lie that you did. And you won't be able to get away with it then. You may be able to, like I said, in this dunya, piece stories together to make people, confuse people and say, oh, okay, yeah, he's probably speaking the truth, but on the day of judgment, that's not going to work. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Hajj, ayat number 30, and avoid false speech. That's like a command from Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's a command from Allah Azza wa Jalla, avoid false speech. And what is avoiding false speech? Avoiding lying. Lying. And so we can see that in the Quran, it is mentioned so many times. The Quran is telling us that to avoid this, to stay away from this, that you become faithless if you are lying. And yet we still continue to lie. But viewers of Mother Channel, at the same time, I mentioned earlier on, and I don't know whether you caught it, I mentioned that anyone who lies without a valid Shari reason, and I mentioned that, and I don't know if any of you picked up on that. So, viewers of Mother Channel, I just want to explain that. In society nowadays, there are certain people, unfortunately, that create separation between husband and wife, between friends and relatives, by lying. They lie to create this separation between a husband and wife, between two brothers, between father and son, and so on and so on. Whereas Shariat loves the unity amongst the Muslims so much, that it allows you, yes, it allows you to lie in order to create reconciliation between two Muslims. It allows you to lie to reconcile two Muslims. And to give you an example, Sayyidina Abu Khalil radiallahu ta'ala states that there was some dispute between two companions to the extent that they both stopped talking to each other. I met one of them and I said, what's your issue with so and so? I heard him praising you immensely. Then I met the other one and I said the same to him, to the extent that they both reconciled. Then I thought to myself, I have indeed reconciled both of them, but I maybe have destroyed myself through lying. Just pause for a second before I go on. The mindset of the companions, that I've joined two brothers together, but maybe I've destroyed myself. How? Through lying. Maybe I've destroyed myself through lying. And what did he do then? He said, therefore, I went and I relayed this to the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And upon this, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam stated, O Abu Khail, radiallahu ta'ala, do reconcile people even if you have to lie. Even if you have to lie. Allahu Akbar. So in these particular cases, lying is permissible. Why? To reconcile people, to bring people together. But ask yourself, what are we lying about? In most cases, rather than lying to bring people together, we're lying people to break people apart. We're going to tell this person one story, we're going to tell this person one story, both of them are in truth, and these two people start speaking to each other. Husbands and wives, you know, people divorce their wives as a result of someone giving lying to them and giving them false stories. Astaghfirullah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, speaking truth is indeed an act of righteousness, and an act of righteousness which leads one to paradise, and lying is a sin, and a sin leads one to the hellfire. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, lying indeed leads towards sin, and sin leads towards the hell. And undoubtedly, a person keeps lying to the extent that he becomes an extremely grave liar in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. This, whatever sin you know you commit, viewers of Money Channel, it's like a disease. It starts spreading. And as the disease starts spreading, then it becomes harder to control. And you know, in the current time at the moment, we're talking about the pandemic, that it's spreading and it's out of control, and how do we control it? And people are looking at ways, how can we control it? How can we control it? What do we do? And every day we're looking at the figures. Everyone's every day opening the newspapers, going on the net and say, oh, how many people were infected today? How many people died today? How many did this? Just think, if them same newspapers, them same articles, them same newspapers, same broadcasting companies were to release information today, that how many people today have been affected by lying? How many people today have disgraced themselves by lying? And you would see the figures that would be spreading so far and wide that you would be grabbing your head and thinking to yourself, what can we do about this? It's out of control. There is no way we can control this. And viewers of Money Channel, this sin of lying, this pandemic of lying, this disease of lying that is spreading, the results of that, the output of that is far, far greater than any disease in this world. What can a disease in this world do? What can it do? It can take your life. Yes, okay, I'll agree with you. It can take your life away with you. But then what? Then what? Then on the day of judgment, you'll be there. And that afterlife is more important. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and I mentioned it to you before, that this dunya is like water on the finger, whereas the akhirat is like the ocean. But if a person lies, he lies and lies and lies, then that ocean, he will not achieve it. He will be disgraced on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, he will be disgraced and he will be thrown into the hellfire. So this pandemic, this epidemic, this disease of lying, you know, you can go and get a blood test to see whether you've got any disease. Oh, I've got this disease, I've got that disease, I've got that disease. Have you ever done a check on yourself to see whether you've got the disease of lying inside yourself? Have you ever done a check on yourself to see whether you've got the disease of swearing inside yourself, the disease of backbiting inside yourself? And this you don't need to go to any doctor to do. You don't need to go to a doctor to get a blood and say, okay, and it's going to cost you £30 to take the blood, and then we're going to wait 7 days for the result. Sit down, contemplate, think to yourself, am I affected by this disease? And be honest with yourself. That's the first thing that you need to be. You can't lie to yourself. If you lie to yourself, then you're just causing your own self-destruction. It's like pressing the self-destruct button if you're lying to yourself. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself and say to yourself, do I lie? Do I swear? Do I backbite? Do I gossip? And you can literally sit there and go through the sins. And I keep on mentioning to you, viewers of Madhini Channel, the Madhini Inamat card. If you look at the Madhini Inamat card, the Madhini Inamat card is like a self-rectification card, and a lot of things are mentioned in there. A lot of things are mentioned in there, and if you look at them, then it'll make you reflect and think to yourself. So like, imagine you're going to a laboratory, you're going to a clinic. You go to a clinic and you pay thousands of rupees, or you pay hundreds of pounds to go to a private clinic to have all these tests done. Download the Madani Namaz card, and that's like going to a clinic every single day to check what you should and what you shouldn't be doing and what is your current state. I could go as far as saying that Amir Sunnah has, you know, he's given us the laboratory and the test results in the form of that card. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and Alhamdulillah, every day we have the hadith of the day. So inshaAllah Azawajal, we're now going to go to the daily hadith. Sallu ala al-Khabib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, inshaAllah Azawajal, in today's daily hadith, we will hear about a very important element of our lives. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, يَأْتِ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ. A time will come upon the people, لَا يُبَالِي الْمَرْءُ مَا أَخَذَ مِنْهُ, when one will not care where he attains his wealth from, whether he attains it through permissible means or impermissible means, halal or haram. No doubt, one of the obligations upon a Muslim is that he earns for himself and his family a pure and halal sustenance. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did not sleep all night. So Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha asked, O Messenger of Allah, what has caused you to stay awake all night? The best of mankind sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied that I found a date last night and I ate it. Then I remembered that we had in our house some dates that were meant for charity. So I feared that the date I ate was from the dates that were to be given to charity. Subhanallah, what does this go to show? Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam ate one date, forgetting that he had some dates in his house that were meant for charity. And this caused them to have a sleepless night, just out of fear that this date may have been from the dates of the charity. So this accidental morsel caused our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much unrest and so much discomfort. In reality, this serves as a lesson for us. This is a teaching within this. There's a teaching for us, those of us who may be earning such a living that comes from a means of haram, and yet we enjoy a deep sleep at night. And like this, we have countless accounts of various Sahaba-i Kiram and Awliya who too are great role models, even in just safeguarding themselves from doubtful food and sustenance. Halal sustenance is the means of attaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also His Azza wa Jal's protection. It's the means of getting all our lawful du'as answered, and also and truly a means of being honored on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the pursuit of seeking halal sustenance easy upon all of us. Ameen, bijahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. Today we're talking about lying and the fact that, you know, if we self-examine ourselves, and we talked before the break about, you know, if we were to go to a laboratory to get our blood test done, we could see so many diseases there, and we are concerned. You know, we look at the, oh, my iron's low, my sugar's high, this is that, my cholesterol, and we look at all of them diseases, or all of them things on the, and we change our lives according to that. And we change our lifestyles according to that. And sometimes what happens is we have to take medication, and we do things to make a change in ourselves. But what about those spiritual diseases that we are facing? What about the diseases of the heart that are inside ourselves? Do we ever get them checked? Do we ever reflect on them? And I think we need to, viewers of Mother Channel. We definitely need to. We need to reflect on them diseases and make the change. Make lifestyle changes, as they say. People say that, oh, because I've got high cholesterol, I have to make a lifestyle change. And you make a lifestyle change by staying away from fried food. You make a lifestyle change by taking exercise on a daily basis. And you change your lifestyle. In the same way, you need to look at yourself. Look at yourself to see what state you are in, and maybe you need to make a lifestyle change. You need to make a lifestyle change. You need to change maybe where you are going, the company that you're keeping, And like we keep on saying, if you associate yourself with the company of the brothers and the sisters of Dawud Islami, if you enjoy, join the environment of Dawud Islami, then inshallah azawajal, you can benefit from it. But why do we lie? Why do we lie? You know, one of the reasons that we lie is sometimes we're sitting in a gathering and, you know, people are, you know, conversation's taking place. And you're not being part of that talk, you know, the conversation's taking place and everyone's listening to everybody and you're just doing this and you're thinking, you know, I need to butt in, I need to mention something here so that I can also be part of the conversation and I can also be the center of the conversation. And so what happens is you start telling them a story. But the story that you've got is not very good, it's not very interesting. So you think to yourself, you know what, to make it a little bit more interesting, to make it so that they will laugh, that they will enjoy, that they will enjoy listening to my story, then I'll add a little bit. You know, and as they say in Urdu, add mirch masala, add something to it, salt and spices to it, to make the story more appealing, yeah? And so what happens is you end up lying. And now why are you lying? You're lying to be the center of the conversation. You're lying so that people will laugh. What have you achieved? I'll tell you what you've achieved. Yes, you've achieved what you set out to achieve. You've achieved that you are the center of the conversation. Yes, you've achieved that you've made people laugh. But have you ever thought to yourself what else you've achieved? The sin of lying. The sin of lying. And we keep on saying this, views on the channel, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as a complete guide, a complete source of guidance to all of mankind. And with regard to this particular type of event that I mentioned, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person speaks and does so only to make people laugh, then due to it, he falls in such depths of the hellfire that is even more than the distance between the sky and the earth. Undoubtedly, the wrongdoing that one commits through his tongue is severe than the one that he commits through his feet. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, woe to him who lies when he speaks so that way he makes people laugh through him. Woe unto him. Woe unto him. What have you achieved? What have you achieved? You achieved, yes, like I said, what your intention was, to be the center of the conversation. You achieved the fact that people laughed at you, that people thought, wow, he's got a fantastic story, yeah? I think, you know, what we'll do is whenever we've got a gathering, we call him because he has some brilliant stories, yeah? And they call you to tell these stories, and you sit there and tell them the stories, and everyone's laughing and giggling and thinking, wow, what a great person this is. What a fantastic, he's made me laugh today. You made them laugh, but you're going to be laughing your way to the depths of the hellfire, and you won't be laughing then. You won't be laughing then. You won't be laughing on the day of judgment when you are faced with a torment that is in front of you, that you will be in the depths of the hellfire as a result of your actions. Viewers of Mother Channel, reflect. Viewers of Mother Channel, please think to yourself, why? Why am I lying? Why do I lie? What am I achieving by lying? Views of Mother Channel, we've got a small package now, inshallah. We're going to go to the package, inshallah. But please stay tuned, because when I come back, I've got some more examples, some practical examples of why we lie. And when you look at this, you think to yourself, and I'm hoping, I'm praying, views of Mother Channel, that at the end of this program, we can reflect on ourselves and think to ourselves that why do we lie? What are we achieving by lying? And it's, you know, we're not even achieving anything in this dunya, to be honest. We may think we are. Ultimately, we're not. But we're disgracing ourselves on the day of judgment. And we're getting ourselves thrown into the depths of the hellfire all through lying. Views of Mother Channel, please, let's listen to the package, inshallah, and we'll be right back. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Once a person asked Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi, that how did you become such a big scholar? How did you become such a big alim-e-deen? And now before I continue, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was that personality, my dear Islamic brothers, that millions and millions of people followed Imam Abu Hanifa before us. And millions of people today across the whole world, they follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. They call themselves Hanafis. One day, my dear respected Islamic brothers, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, someone asked him, how did you become such a big alim-e-deen? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he replied and he said that I used to get some knowledge I used to do the shukr of Allah, and Allah used to give me more knowledge. This is why I have got this status. What do you learn from this? The more shukr of Allah you do, the more you thank Allah, the more Allah will give you, inshallah. And my dear respected Islamic brothers, today sadly, people are mourning, I've got this problem, I've got this difficulty. Look at that person, look what he's got and look what I've got. Just remember one madani food, my dear respected Islamic brothers. What you have, yes, what you have, what I have, is someone's dream out there. Many people would love to live the lifestyle that we are living. But what? They're too poor. They don't have a house to sleep in. They don't have a house to stay in. You say that, I want that car because I don't like this one. Brother, they don't even have a car, many people around the world. They have to walk to get to their destination. Allah Azza wa Jal, He has given us so much. My dear respected Islamic brothers, think to yourself, how much do we thank Allah? How much do we praise Allah Azza wa Jal? How much shukr of Allah Azza wa Jal do we do in one day? Think to yourself, today anybody does something good to you, you can't continue to thank him. You can't stop thanking him. My dear respected Islamic brothers, Allah Azza wa Jal has given us so much. But how much shukr of Allah do we do? How much do we thank Allah Azza wa Jal? So make one intention today, inshallah Azza wa Jal, that you will thank Allah Azza wa Jal, you will do the shukr of Allah Azza wa Jal, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, another great reminder for us on a daily basis that we keep on learning these things. And if we keep on watching, inshallah, Madri channel and programs like Rise and Shine and all the other programs, then inshallah Azza wa Jal, we can continue to learn something. Viewers of Madri channel, we're talking about lying today, and inshallah we've got a guest that's going to be joining us very, very soon, inshallah. But before that, we were talking before that, why do we lie? Why are we lying? And one of the reasons that we lie, viewers of Madri channel, is just to please others, in the sense. Or really we lie because we feel that it's something that we have to do. And some people, we think that we have to lie, but we don't always have to lie. For example, you know, you go to someone's house and they'll say, do you want anything to eat? Are you hungry? And you are hungry. You are hungry. No, I've just ate before I came. Don't worry about it. I've ate. I'm not hungry. What have you done? You've lied. It's better to say, yeah, I'm hungry, but I don't want to eat anything at the moment. Yeah. And that's the truth. You are hungry, but you don't want to eat anything at that moment, rather than lying. And so what happens is sometimes we lie just to please other people. And that is why, again, there's a flip side of this. The flip side of this is that sometimes we need to be careful that we don't ask people, you know, questions that put them in this predicament. Yeah? By putting them in that predicament, you might cause them to lie. And I'll give you an example. For example, you've made some food. You made some food for someone, be it at a wedding or be it at the home or be it someone's at your house and they're eating the food. Now, everybody has food to their own liking, yeah? I like food that has a certain amount of salt in it. I like food that has a certain amount of spice in it. I might like less, you might like more, for example. And we like different dishes. Everybody has different tastes. So I might come to your house and you might say, did you like the food? Now, the food wasn't to my liking. It was too spicy, it was too salty, for example, yeah? Or it's too oily, whatever it was. I didn't like it. Now, what am I going to do? What am I going to do now? If I tell the truth, this guy's going to be upset. If I tell a lie, then I've committed the sin of lying. And what happens is we end up lying. So again, we should not put people in a predicament, in a situation that is putting them in a situation that they may have to lie. Now, if this person, he lies with the intention that I don't want to hurt my brother's feelings, then maybe inshallah he'll be forgiven. But why did we put him in that predicament in the first place? If you put people in this predicament, well, you're putting them in a situation where they are lying. Yeah? And because of that, you've caused that person to potentially have this battle inside himself that what do I do? Potentially cause a predicament where he ends up lying. So again, viewers of the channel, one, don't lie, but at the second time, don't put people in a predicament, in a situation where they may have to lie. Viewers of the channel, we've got a special guest with you, mashallah. He's joined us many times before. May Allah reward him. Waseem bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. How are you, brother?
MashaAllah.
Just for our viewers, he's responsible for our translation work here in the UK. And he's doing all of our translation work. He's heading our translation work here in the UK. And I know he's very, very busy at the moment. I may Allah reward him for giving him these special moments that he can come and bless us with this time. We're talking about lying, the sin of lying, and how it's become so widespread in the society. Today we're talking about, you know, everybody's talking about a certain virus that's spreading around the world, but nobody's talking about this virus that's spread far around the world and we've not been able to control it.
As lying is a major sin, it is a haram action and an act that leads towards the hellfire. And when a person lies, then the angel distances a mile away due to the foul smell that emanates from the mouth. So there are many condemnations, there are many admonitions, warnings that have been mentioned in Quran and Hadith that warn us against this evil act. So only if we can keep them in view, go through those hadith, those Quranic verses, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, it will help us a great deal to stay away from lying. And on the same note, Sayyidina Imam Ibn Jawzi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he states that when a believer lies without any shari reason, then something, he says that something possessing foul smell emanates from his mouth to the extent that it reaches the arsh, and the arsh bearing angels curse him. 80,000 angels along with them curse him, and 80 sins are written in his account, in the account of the liar, and the smallest of these sins are like Mount Uhud. So we come to know how harmful it is spiritually as well, that arsh, the lie reaches the arsh bearing angels and 80,000 more angels along with them, they're cursing the liar. And 80 sins are recorded in his book of deeds, and the smallest of the sins is like Mount Uhud. So we come to know how harmful it is for us spiritually as well as socially in our lives. So only if we can develop this mindset and stay away from lying, inshaAllah, we will attain goodness in this world and in the hereafter.
MashaAllah. Wasim Bhai, I was just listening to you, and actually was listening to you. You mentioned the fact that, you know, we lie to our line managers. And I was just thinking that I remember throughout my life, I've worked in a lot of offices, and, you know, people turn up late for work in the morning. And, you know, they'll be asked, the manager will say to him, why are you late? And he never says, oh, I got up late. He never says, oh, I had a bigger breakfast today, or because I couldn't find my shirt, or I couldn't find my tie, I couldn't find my jacket, I couldn't find my files. He never says that. He always says, oh, the traffic was very, very busy today. Oh, there was a lot of traffic there today. And he's lying to make excuses for his own weaknesses. And so it becomes habitual. And even the line manager knows that he's lying. He knows that he's lying. Why? Because he's come in that same traffic. He's come on the same road to work as him. He knows that he's lying, but it just becomes a habit where people just lie. And what happens is because people get away with lying, I think that's the crucial part we've seen by that. For example, you know, you turn up late from work, and the boss says to you, why were you late today? Oh, it was heavy traffic, boss. Ooh, there was even an accident on the road today, and because of the accident, the traffic was a mile back, and we got diverted off the road, and we had to go off the motor, we had to go here, go there, where. And the boss says, oh, okay then, okay, and he walks off. And, you know, you think, wow, I've lied, I've got away with it again. And this is what happens, is because we're seen by in this dunya, it feels as if we're getting away with it. And because we can seem to get away with it, we seem to think, well, what's wrong with it? Because I'm getting away with it, aren't I? But like what you've said though, Wasim, is what people don't realize is that ultimately you won't get away with it.
Indeed. The other problem that normally people have is we think that nowadays we can't survive without lying. That's another misconception that people have in their minds. They think that anything you need to do in this world to become successful, we need to lie. This is a sort of mindset that people have developed. And a similar kind of question was asked to Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah in a Madani Muzakara, where a brother asked that, Ya Sayyidi, how can we refrain from lying nowadays when we can't do anything without lying? And the reply that Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah gave was remarkable. Those were historical words. Amir al-Sunnah said that before replying to this question, first of all, how can I agree to the fact that we can't survive without lying nowadays? Are you trying to say that every single person in this world is lying? Alhamdulillah, there are those pious people who refrain from lying, who abide by the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're also surviving. They're also living. Alhamdulillah, Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah is a prime example for us. So first of all, we need to clear our mindset that it is not the case that we cannot survive without lying. We need to clear our minds first. When there's a will, there's a way. We need to understand that this is not a fact. Alhamdulillah, we can survive and in fact survive better, live a better life by refraining from lying. So first of all, we need to clear our minds from this fact that inshallah, just think about this, dear viewers of Madani channel, that ma'adullah, when you're lying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still providing you. If you're disobeying Him, He's still giving you risk, He's still giving you sustenance. But if you start obeying Him, then would He stop sustenance from you? No, in fact, there will be more barakah, more blessings in your sustenance. So develop this mindset accordingly. Awliya Ikram rahimahumullah and the pious individuals of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not dying of hunger. They're not less of any worldly provisions. Alhamdulillah, they're leading a pious life. They're abiding by the laws of Sharia. They're fulfilling the commandments of Allah Almighty and the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They refrain from lying. They tell the truth all the time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with the worldly provisions, as well as they're also being blessed with the provisions of the hereafter. And the third and most important element that we spend our lives in running after, which is honor, status, rank, then those individuals also have honor. They also are respected in the sight of people. Because a liar, the thing is, as you mentioned, Khalid bhai, that after lying, we think, get away with it. From it, and people won't realize that we've lied. No, it is quite apparent when we lie, and we lose our trust, our respect in the sight of people. But those people who are pious, who don't lie, who tell the truth, they are respected in the sight of people. So develop your mindset that, first of all, it is not the case that we can't survive without lying. And secondly, if you want to attain success, if you want to be respected, if you want to have a rank, if you want to have a status, then be truthful. Who was more truthful than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the traits was his truthfulness. He's known as Siddiq Akbar. He's the biggest, the most truthful. Why do we say him Abdulul Bashir Ba'ad al-Anbiya? The best amongst the people after the prophets. One of the traits is his truthfulness. So we envy those who are truthful. We acknowledge the fact that truthfulness is a pious deed. We acknowledge the fact that lying is haram, is a major sin, then why don't we refrain from it? Allah, so we need Allah to understand these facts, clear our mind accordingly, and stop from lying. On the same note, alhamdulillah, there's a very beautiful thing of my master, Imam Ahl Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan, alayhi rahmatu rahman, before me, which is stating Fatawa Razaviya Sharif. He says that lying and backbiting are spiritual illnesses, spiritual filthiness. Therefore, such a smell emanates from a liar's mouth. The angels appointed to guard him at that time move away from him. So you see, Allah Almighty has appointed angels over us to guard us. But when a person lies, those angels whom are appointed upon us by Allah Almighty to guard us, to safeguard us, those angels, they move away. So the mercy, it stops from us. Angels, guardian angels, they are moved from us. Then why do we complain? What is the complaint therefore when we ourselves are stopping the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from reaching us by lying? The angels that Allah Almighty has appointed over us to guard us, we move them away ourselves by lying. Then why do we complain that we are facing such and such calamities? Because we open the doors of those calamities upon us ourselves. So we need to understand that. And here Ali Rahma further states that Muslims should keep in view this great result and fear Allah Almighty. They should abandon lying and backbiting. Would someone, ma'azullah, prefer for excrement to discharge from his mouth? Only if our spiritual insight gets enlightened, only then we will come to know that the lying and backbiting contains worse smell than even excrement. So we need to understand how severe lying is and what difficulty and what severe trouble our angels they face due to our act of lying. That only if we had the spiritual enlightenment in us, we would realize that the smell that is emanated upon lying is even worse than excrement.
Jazakallah Wasim bhai. May Allah reward you for the time that you've given us today, inshallah. And I hope that you can give us time and join us every other day if possible. If possible, every day, inshallah, but nice. Jazakallah for those kind words, and I hope that people are listening to them and people have benefited from them. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mashallah. Jazakallah. I was seen by his responsible for our translation majlis, and he was talking there. And one of the things that, a few things stuck in my mind as he was talking was, one of them is that, you know, we feel that we cannot manage, we cannot survive without lying and fiddling. And I remember once we arranged to take a group of taxi drivers on a Madani Qafla. It was the first Madani Qafla. And a Madani, what is a Madani Qafla? A Madani Qafla is where you travel from a different town, from a different place to a different masjid, different town, different city. You stay in a masjid for 3 or 4 days at least. And whilst you're there, you learn and teach the sunnahs of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And during that period, you have certain periods where you have a bit of a rest period. And in the middle of the day, there was like a rest period of an hour and a half. And I laid down, I put a pillow beneath my head, and I was sat there. And I had my eyes closed, but I wasn't sleeping. And I was listening to what they were talking about. And all the taxi drivers, they were sitting there and talking to each other. And the discussion was that, how much do we fiddle to get away with? And I was astounded by what was happening. And I got up and I realized that what they were discussing was that they felt that without lying, without fiddling people, they could not make enough money. So they would exaggerate the fares and charge people more. And they all wanted to agree on how much do we exaggerate. Basically, they were going to try to agree amongst themselves how much they lie, because they felt that they could not survive. And I stopped them and I said, what are you saying here? You're sitting in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, and you're discussing and agreeing about how much we should lie, how much we should fiddle people. And I explained to them. And I remember that Rukn Shura Abdul Abibai once said that those people that are completely away from Allah Azza wa Jal, those people that disbelieve Allah Azza wa Jal, those people Allah Azza wa Jal provides for. Without doubt, people, those that believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, follow the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, follow the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, without doubt, Allah Azza wa Jal will provide for them. So again, views of the channel, like we were seeing by said, it's that mindset. Alhamdulillah, Dawah Islami is providing water facilities, because we mentioned that the companion of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who built a well and gave it away a sadaqah. And we also mentioned the fact that Alhamdulillah, Dawah Islami is doing this. Dawah Islami is providing these water wells and water production places in places like Tharu, where there isn't any water. And we mentioned that these wells can be anything from 50 meters deep and beyond. And in some places, solar power plants. And we are also talking about the fact that some of these places have Salwal al-Habib, they have water filtration plants there as well. And so, again, whilst we were on air, someone contacted us and said that they wish to do that. And I think I've requested the technical team, if they can put up the Nafla bank account details, hopefully, on the screen as well, if that is possible, so that if anybody wishes to donate or have in any of these causes, at the same time we're having these projects in Thar, where they are, we're making water wells, we're making masjids there, madrasas there, and all these things there. Because in a lot of these places as well, where we are providing these water wells, there's no power, there's no electricity there, and the water, when it's brought out, it's very dirty water or unclear water. And so what we're doing is, in them areas, we're putting water filtration plants and solar power plants as well. So if anybody wishes to donate to any of this, then the bank account should be on the screen now. And if after this you feel that you've not been able to take the bank account details down because they've not been there long enough, then there should be a phone number at the bottom of the screen. You can contact us anytime. Dawud Salami is here to help the Ummah, to provide the services to the Ummah, and we encourage you all to help us in this mission of Dawud Salami, that I must strive to rectify the people of the world and myself, inshallah, azza wa jal. Views of the channel, we're talking about lying, and we've come to the end of the program, but just two things I want to mention very, very quickly. One is lying without reason. What happens is sometimes, you know, when we go to people's house and we see the father through the window and the son opens the door and says, where's your dad? And they say, dad's not at home. And we've told our child not to lie. And again, there's, you know, what are you teaching that child? But another thing is we also lie as a joke as well. We like to create jokes, and we have this, what people call April Fools, where people joke. And there was an instance once where somebody came to Aurangzeb and came to him, he was the king at the time, and they said to him, and they joked with him, and they said that, your wife has become a widow. Your wife has become a widow. And all his face, suddenly his face became distressed, right? And when his face became distressed, and they looked at him and said that, Azur, why are you being distressed? How is it possible that your wife's become a widow? You're still alive, yeah? And he replied that, I'm not distressed by the fact that my wife has become a widow or not. I'm distressed by the fact that a Muslim is lying. Again, viewers of Mother Channel, we lie without any reason. And I'll say it again, that viewers of Mother Channel, attach yourself to the medical clinic of Dawat Islami. The medical clinic for the diseases of the soul, where inshallah when you join this clinic, then inshallah the laboratory will do its tests, you'll have the results, you'll be able to see yourself what your current state is, and you'll try and improve yourself. I pray that we have tried and we make intention today that we rectify ourselves, stay away from the sin of lying and other sins as well. Viewers of Mother Channel, you've been watching Rise and Shine. May Allah forgive me, may you forgive me as well. And inshallah, same time, same place, we're going to be Rise and Shine tomorrow. But in the meantime, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end.